Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Not to brag or anything, but I went to bed at 6 p.m. yesterday. Y'all wish you had this social life. Sexy.
There was a big spider crawling on the floor in yoga class, and all the ladies freaked out. But I just said very zen-like, namaste away from me.
I left my car windows cracked open after I ate food in the car. I wanted the aroma gone in the morning, but then overnight it rained.
Womp. We're entering a new season already, Sarah, and I protest. Can you please just chill for a minute, world?
1 minute. That's all we ask. Have such a good day.
Hello, world, and welcome back to Have Such a Good Day,
the show that wants you to do just that.
Come on, Heather, keep up.
Hey, everybody. This is the show that unpacks the absurdity of everyday life. Everyday inscrutable life, Sarah. What do you have to say about that? You gotta laugh so you don't cry.
That's
seriously
right. You can cry, too.
You got to.
Sometimes there's sort of a laugh-cry thing that happens.
Absolutely. Or sometimes a cry laugh.
I don't really laugh cry very, you know, when people say like, oh, I'm crying laughing. I mean, I know that's just like a superlative way to say that something was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I don't really do that often. But you know what I do, which is so old lady of me? Well, I don't know if it's old lady, but like I'll sometimes like I'll laugh and I'll clap.
What?
Like I'm like clapping that something is so funny. Like I did that in a movie
theater.
It's
like slapping your
recently.
Knee.
It, yeah, like a knee yeah. slap type thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, why? Why am I doing this?
Why? Hands.
Why am I clapping?
You know, it's funny because I think it works both ways. So like You can cry because you're laughing so hard. And then I think I've experienced when I'm crying, you start laughing because you're kind of delirious with emotion. So I think it kind of works both ways. And it's both, they're very different experiences, but both of them are fine. If you're doing one of those, then you're doing great. How's everybody doing out there today?
Yeah, if you're weeping right now, we are proud of you.
Yes.
Okay? You're getting something out.
That's when you know you're doing all right.
Oh, man. I haven't had a good cry in a while, Heather. I'll be honest with you. I probably am due.
I had a good cry laugh the other day. It was, you know, I feel like I have to force myself to laugh to kind of get out of the cry mood. You know, it's a whole thing. But y'all, this is us, Sarah Lane and Heather Frank. The small and mighty team have such a good day.
That's right.
We're so happy to have you. I mean, so happy. I'm grinning from like ear to ear right now.
All right, Heather, calm down.
Take it down a notch.
They get it. We're happy. Anyway, hope everybody's doing well out there. As usual, we're going to go through the last week-ish since we all saw each other last or heard each other last. And I will start off by saying that I am sleeping too much. Now, I made a joke about 6 going to bed at 6 p.m., but I really did that. This was a mistake, by the way. This is not something where I'm like, I mean, unless I'm jet lagged, that's not a time that I go to sleep normally on purpose. I had gone to the gym and my social life, it's what I do. And, you know, it wasn't a particularly crazy workout. You know, I'm usually there for not even an hour. I get my stuff done. You know, if I give myself an hour door to door, that's all I need.
Yeah.
And I had come home and I, you know, sort of like, I'm not super hungry yet. So, you know, I'll just kind of wait on that. And, you know, I have to take a shower and, you know, just regular stuff. And I'm just gonna like lay down and rest my lower back just for a minute. And I woke up at like 11 p.m., you know,
it's
dark. I'm confused as to like what day it even is because I'm, you know, I'm sort of like, is it yesterday still or...
Could you
is that morning?
Waking up
you know,
yesterday?
I mean, it's sort of where you kind of look at the time and you go, oh, I see what I've done. I did something terrible and now I've screwed it up because I slept, I mean, not a whole night's sleep, but I slept enough so that now I'm up at 11, I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. I need to take a shower, you know, I'm not going to sleep in my workout gear. And, you know, I was just so like mad at myself. Like, what happened? You know, I'll chalk it up to the weight of the world. I don't know. I mean, it's not that weird to like close your eyes and take a little bit of a nap in the evening, but this was something else. Didn't
well,
feel
then
sick.
You're awake the rest of the night because then you're like, oh, I had like a really long power nap and now I can't sleep the rest of the night.
Well,
so
that's exactly what happened.
Your
I was able to get
off.
Back to sleep, but well, first of all, I was kind of up for a while, you know. It's like now I'm doing a midnight snack, which I really like really try to avoid doing, you know. I don't like eating in the middle of the night, and anyway, it was just a mess. But so that's just one thing. Hey, happens to the best of us. However, I have noticed especially because I'm tracking my sleep, you know, I'm wearing my Apple Watch almost every night overnight, and you know, I look at the data in the morning and it's like, you know, I'm gonna sleep how I sleep. I don't know how much it really helps me. I know that I go into like what it considers deep sleep right away. You know, fall asleep easily. And then I kind of, you know, I'm sort of up and down. I have to get up in the middle of the night half the time, yada, yada, yada. So it's like, it's data that's interesting, but it doesn't do much for me. I probably need to take it a step further, figuring out how I can deep sleep longer throughout the night. Because, yeah, you know, in general, I do sleep quite. I'm a pretty light sleeper. You know, I'm something's always bothering me. You know, I'm too hot. I heard a noise. Blah blah blah. But because I'm thinking about that in the morning, you know, my Apple Watch or my health app on my iPhone or you know whatever the combination of the two. You know, I'm always getting these like, good work, Sarah. you hit your sleep goal again. Where it's like, you know, when I was wearing a Fitbit activity tracker, same idea as far as the overnight data that you get in the morning, I was like, rarely, because my goal is 8 hours. Eight hours is like, that would be amazing.
It's perfect. Yeah.
I'm kind of fine with seven. I even, if I'm feeling like pretty tip top, eating well and everything, you know, I can get by on 6.5. I mean, I need a longer sleep here and there, but anything under 6, and it's like, okay, now we're getting into weird territory. But anything over 8, and I'm like, we're also kind of getting into weird territory.
Yeah, you almost get like more tired. It's like,
it's feeding itself.
Yeah, I have had the same experience. I mean, I had a period where I was sleeping, when I got back from my trip, actually, I was sleeping like nine or 10 hours, and I was kind of shocked by it. I was like, I was like deep sleeping 9, 10 hours. I'm like, what is wrong with me? This is weird. And I would be really groggy in the morning.
Yeah.
Like as if, yeah, I slept a little too much, because 8 hours is like a sweet spot for me. If I sleep well, I usually will literally, yeah, solid 8 hours. And then I wake up naturally after 8 hours. Sometimes 7.5. But yeah, I think the oversleeping can be like a total detriment for sure.
And I think it, you know, people will, I don't know, I don't want to be like, I am a Google doctor too much on the show because I know a lot less about depression than some people. I do know that depression can be linked to either not sleeping enough or sleeping too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're kind of like, and, you know, again, I really don't know what I'm talking about, but I can understand that sort of like, you know, life is sort of unexciting, or, you know, there's something looming, whatever, where you're like, I'd just rather be asleep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had bad days where I'm like, gosh, I just can't wait to go to sleep and have this stupid day be over, that kind of thing. But that's like a one-off. You know?
Yeah.
We all have our ups and downs. Sure. What I want to make sure is that I'm not just sort of like entering some weird, like, hibernate person mode where I'm sleeping all the time instead of doing something a little bit more productive. I don't know. I'm just thinking about it.
Honestly, I think it's a phase.
Yeah.
I think it's a phase. And I think, and it's funny, I talked to a girlfriend last night. I won't blow up her spot, but she was saying the same thing. I think it's, and you and I chatted a little bit yesterday about how, you know, during season changes, and I feel like it's gotten darker quicker. I don't know. This is just my own experience. It probably means it has no scientific, you know, fact behind it. But I just feel like we're in September and it's already kind of dark, like winter.
We're barely September. It's almost October. Gosh darn it.
I know. And like I'm like, wait a minute. I don't remember it getting like, we're like already feeling wintry. And we had a beautiful sunny day yesterday. But I think for me, this is a little odd, but I did spend the summer away. I spent a month out of this area. So I feel like I didn't have a summer here. And granted, I had a summer somewhere else, but it's just this weird thing that I feel like I didn't really get any sunny weather here because I basically missed it when I was gone. And I get
well,
a day
way to
here
go,
or there,
Heather.
But
yeah, way to go.
I know. Yeah. Next year I'm leaving during June gloom. That's for sure. Not leaving in July. But I think it's a phase. I think it's all cyclical. You know, I feel something similar where it's like, okay, we're moving right along. You know, life just keeps moving. Can't stop it. Wish you could hit the pause button on the world, but we can't. But I think when the seasons change and you're staring down winter, at least for me, you know, like yesterday there was a really big rain. I wasn't ready for it. It was like, it wasn't even just like spurts of rain. It was like all day. You wake up in the morning, it's dark, it's gray, and it's really wet. I jumped out of the car right out in front of the post office, and it's like a very short, quick, like, I don't know, 15 feet to get to the front door of the post office. And I was like, totally wet.
Yeah.
It was raining that bad, like all day. And so
it didn't rain much, but except a little bit overnight so that my car got wet inside. Wouldn't be the first time I've done that, or the second.
Well, I live in a rainforest, so like,
yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. That's a conversation for another time. But I did have to dig out my galoshes, I thought of you, and my raincoat. And it felt weird. I was just like not ready. You know, I'm like, I'm not ready for this. Summer is over.
It is a little early in the year. Yeah. Although you just get more rain in your neck of the woods than I do. But yeah, I was just, I'm looking at my galoshes right now. something that I took great pains not to, like, when I moved out of my last apartment, to not pack somewhere that was inconvenient.
Yeah.
You know, in the dead of summer, you look at them and you're like, what? They're just like, we'll never need these again. And sure enough, every winter I do.
And guess what? The first thing I do when I grab those galoshes is
look for spiders.
Exactly. In fact, I think it's kind of like spider season.
Ew.
Yeah, maybe Halloween. I don't know, like up here, but like they're out. They're in the house. In fact, I found one in my closet this morning, and I always have I'm like, Elijah, I always have this voice. He knows it's like my, please come and get the spider right now voice. You know, I'm like, I'm kind of like,
right, like second, I'm about to lose it.
Like, I'm kind of being a girly girl, I know, but like, look, I don't like killing any creatures, even creepy crawly ones. But when it's like a black, like scary looking spider, I can't deal. I'll let like a little daddy long leg cruise around, but because I know those are like harmless. But yeah, the summer is over vibes is hard. I think for me, this is kind of where some anxiety sets in. I think I looked it up. I Googled it because, yeah, I'm not a Google doctor either, Sarah, but we do Google our ailments. It's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And it's autumn anxiety. It's a thing, apparently. And I think for me, I'm not ready for, it's like the darkness, you know, it's dark in the morning, it gets darker in the evening, colder, obviously, it's obvious things. But I think on top of it, it's the dreading what may or may not happen. You know, I think the looming winter months for me personally have always been a little bit dreadful because of like my parents, I have my birthday.
Right.
It's just, it's kind of loaded. And it's like the holidays, I have to like, you know, and I talked about this last year about this time is kind of reconfiguring the holidays. Like, how do I get through with minimal like stress and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Being cold, I understand why older people move to Florida. I mean, yeah, I don't know. But I think the other thing is things die. You know, I don't love it when the dahlias get all soggy and dead, you know? Like, I don't love seeing, I live on 9 acres of, like, greenery, and I don't love seeing, like, the plants die. And I remember my dad, I'll never forget him one day saying, I mentioned this when it was, you know, about this time when things started dying off, and he said, you know, you really have to enjoy and accept every you know, every season, every stage of life, like the, you know, when things grow and then when things die, it's all beautiful. And I was like, acceptance is hard, you know, and that's been definitely a theme for me lately is acceptance. And it sounds so easy, you know, like it's a easy thing, right? It's one word. Why can't I deal with it? Well,
yeah,
it's a tough thing to accept.
Yeah, acceptance is hard to accept, turns out. We're still in Sonoma County, where I am, California. We're still, just yesterday, Heather and I were actually going to record the show yesterday, and Heather kind of goes, you know what, it's really nice outside, you know, could you want to do this in the morning? And I said, yeah, sure, because it was nice here
today.
Too. I was like, yeah, I'll get out an hour earlier and get a little vitamin D. It was funny because it's that funny time of year where it's still hot here, but the leaves are starting to change and the light is low.
See, I prefer that.
So you've got those long shadows in the afternoon.
I like that, actually.
And it starts to feel, like you're starting to feel like, ooh, yeah, it's going to be the holidays soon.
Like Halloween is approaching.
It feels like something, but I was driving to the park with Otis the dog, and I'm wearing like a zip-up hoodie with a tank top underneath it, you know, and it feels like I was like, oh, it's like fall, you know?
Uh-huh.
But I'm looking at the temp in my car and it's like 81 degrees. I'm like, why am I wearing a sweatshirt right now? You know, like mm-hmm. where are the tank tops there? You're not going to be able to for, you know, that much longer. And we ran around. There's a bunch of trees, bunch of different kinds of, you know, very big mature trees at this mm-hmm. particular park. And the leaves, they haven't fallen really yet, but, you know, there's you're starting to get some interesting colors. And, you know, here I am walking around on the grass. There's yellow jackets everywhere. It's hot, but the trees are changing and the light is weird. And I was just like, I feel weird right now.
Yeah.
I just feel weird. And it's probably because I'm sleeping too much.
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, like everything felt like I was like, oh, this is... Yeah, this is what happens.
Yeah.
It's a funny, it's like a shoulder season that has always been a little confusing because it's like, it's not summer, but it's not like, you know, you said you don't like the cold. I mean, I'm fine with it, whatever. I'll just wear layers or, you know, do that. But it's just, it's still hot. Like, I should have been wearing sunscreen, you know,
yeah, that actually kind of reminds thing. Me of my hometown. See, I think I crave like the more, you know, they're not distinct seasons like the East Coast, but Los Gatos is not that far from where you are south. Mm-hmm. It has a similar climate and it would yeah. have the same thing, like those long shadows. You'd really feel, you'd see the leaves on the ground, they would turn like orange. And here it's sort of similar, but there's a kind of a wetness here because it is a rainforest technically. I think I miss the dry. I don't know. We always miss what we don't have. The grass is always greener, Sarah.
I know.
Except
I know.
Hard.
Heather and I love to talk about all the things wrong with where we live.
Yeah, exactly.
And we know we're not that alone. No place is perfect.
We're not alone because I had a conversation with a friend last night about the same thing, and she lives in a different place. So, but I will say, I with that anxiety of the fall creeping in, I've mentioned this on the show before, how I'm not very good at planning ahead. You know, I mean, I booked that huge trip this summer like a month and a half in advance or something. Like I did not plan it far ahead. And
I don't know, some people would say, you know, month and a half, better than a week.
Not bad. Well, okay, yeah. I have a friend who her husband literally plans out the entire calendar year for them. And it's awesome. I mean, he books the flights, he books the hotels, and it's great because then you're like, this is what we're doing this year. And it's like a nice thing to stare down the year and go, oh, it's gonna be great. We're gonna go here, we're gonna go there. And I always admire that foresight and like forward momentum. I tend to have a harder time to pull the trigger, but I, because of this feeling that I had, this autumnal anxiety, I decided to book a couple trips. I have been meaning to...
You and your trips.
Me and my trips. I travel like half as much as some of my friends, but 'tis the season. I don't know. But I have a friend who bought a house in New Orleans, and you know who she is, my friend Melissa.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I meant to go see it earlier this year, so it's kind of an overdue trip. So we finally booked that for November. Just kind of a long weekend. No big deal. And then I used some points I had to buy a ticket to Kauai in February just because I know it's going to be a long winter. It just is. It is in NorCal. Uh-huh. It's like November, December, January, February, March, like April's still kind of cold. So I'm like, you know, I got to break this up. I just got to break up the monotony and the dark of the winter months. And I'd like to know how y'all out there deal with seasonal blues. Are you a little more like thicker skin than us, and you're like, piffle, weather doesn't really bother me. Email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com. We'd love to hear from you.
We would. And hopefully the weather's good wherever you are in the world, if you're listening to this right now. And good is, you know, eye of the beholder, of course. I mean, some people are like, rainforest sounds great. I hate the sun.
You're right.
I
mean,
I actually do feel that way a lot of the time. I don't dislike rain. I dislike walking my dog in the rain because he gets muddy. But that's sort of like, I don't even really care if I get wet. I don't know. If I lived somewhere where it rained a lot more often, maybe I would have a different feeling.
Listen, I don't mind the rain either, as long as it's not raining 30 days consecutively. It's just the overcast cloud cover that's doing nothing. It's just sitting there. There's no shadows. But I wanted to mention really quick, because you mentioned your Apple Watch and how you're... you know, currently deriving data, sleep data, exercise data. And I wanted to update y'all because, you know, I had gotten an Apple Watch maybe a year ago and I was really excited about it. And, you know, I was really into the sleep data. And I have to say, I haven't been wearing it for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. It's in my drawer being charged. And I keep forgetting it. And I'll go to yoga and I'll be like, shoot, because I like to, like in yoga, the only way I can really track it is to put something on my wrist.
Right.
It thinks that I am a lazy mofo because yeah. But I've been exercising almost every day, but it isn't tracking. And I'm kind of frustrated with it. I feel like I'm kind of hating it right now because I always forget it.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's a nuisance. It's just another accessory I have to like charge and update and deal with. And
yeah, I mean, it's sort of like, well, first of all, and I always tell myself this too, because I sometimes miss a day or, you know, like a good couple of hours where I'm like, God, I was running, you know, and it didn't get any of that. I know that I've been putting in the work, you know, so you can always,
sure.
Like, you don't need your gadget to tell you what you already know. But
sure.
I think, and this works differently. Some people do not like sleeping with a watch. I used to sleep with my Fitbit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is smaller than the Apple Watch. I don't know. It actually just fit me better. The Apple Watch is, I have tiny little person wrists. And I don't know. I wish the watch was slightly smaller. But I don't mind sleeping with it. I've gotten used to it. And so what I do is I sleep with it. Then first thing I do is charge it when I get up in the morning. So I take it off, charge it while I'm sitting there drinking coffee. I'm clearly not mobile. You know, I'm going to sit there for a solid hour. It pretty much only needs an hour to charge. And then it'll get me through the rest of the day and overnight. I mean, there have been times where I don't do this that often, but like I forget I'm wearing it like in the shower. Like the Apple Watch gets washed.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, well, all right. There's no real reason to take it off now that I'm done with the shower. Mm-hmm. And then I go to bed. So that actually works for me. But any deviation of that, and I'm always forgetting it.
Yep. You know,
and there have been times where I don't know why, but I will take it off in the middle of the night and not realize I've done it. You know, I'm just mm-hmm. like, it annoys me, but I'm still kind of asleep. So I'll see it next to me in the morning. I'm like, oh, well, so that happened. Whatever.
Yeah, sometimes I just don't even like it on my wrist. It's kind of bugging me. I'm like sweating a little bit. And it's just like I want to take it off. Like it's funny how it's like these phases, because I was really into it for a while, just diligent, wearing it every day. You know, and now I'm just like, I don't even care anymore. And it's funny how we just change. I'm like, wait, I was so into it like a month ago. What happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
The honeymoon
I've
is over,
I've definitely
Sarah.
Backed off from, you know, when again, going back to the Fitbit, the Fitbit days, I was wearing it judiciously at the early days of the pandemic, you know. It was like all I had was like, sleep data, exercise data, food yeah. data. I mean, I was like inputting everything that I ate
throughout
the day. I remember
that, yeah.
You know, including like ingredients for things. I mean, if you really want to go ham with stuff like that, it can feel pretty obsessive.
Yeah.
And it was like, I didn't even really have like a calorie goal. I was just like, this gives me something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I don't remember who it was, but I mentioned that to somebody and they were like, yeah, I have too much like of issues with food and weight to do something like that. That would like trigger me in a bad way. And I was like, yeah, I wonder if I'm kind of going overboard also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that like this was like, oh, now you have an eating disorder because you care about what you're eating. But it was more of like I was getting a little too granular
yeah,
with
totally.
Some stuff. So now I'm like, I kind of know what to eat and when. I know when I've gone off the rails or, you know, if I need more protein or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So,
well, that's the one
yeah,
good thing about
know.
Getting older is getting to know yourself and yeah. knowing what your limits are, your sensitivities and that kind of thing. And yeah, it's
yeah.
It's a very interesting process that is for sure, Sarah
Well,
Lane.
The thing with the Apple Watch, Heather, is you can... There are so many ways that it can be helpful to you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to just be exercise. But
yeah.
at the same time, if you don't like it, you don't need to wear it. I mean,
yeah, you know? I know it's funny. I think the same thing happened to me when I bought my last Apple Watch a long time ago, and I loved it at first. It was just so like, you know, it was just like I was really into it, and then it got exhausting or something, and I let it sit in a drawer. And the same thing's happening now, and I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. I mean, maybe I'll revive my love for it.
I don't know. Yeah, just buy a Rolex, call it even.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Honeymoon is just over, like, in general. I think that's also part of where my sort of malaise comes in right now, is I think there's a little bit of that, like, honeymoon phase is over feeling for me with, I don't know, I guess sort of living here and doing what I've been doing. And things are always changing, and I think they will continue to change in ways that will continue to make it interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a way, it's like you get to a certain point where you're like, okay, now I really know this area. Like, I really know what I'm doing. You know, I've hit a ceiling. I don't know. But I think this happens with anything you choose to do. So it's not like it's strange.
Yeah, this is not really related to living somewhere. I mean, I guess everything's related to where you live on some level, but I've been kind of thinking about that in a work sense. Not that anything crazy is happening with my work, but I've mentioned before that I used to make more money than I do now. And there are certain things that I'm like, gosh, remember when I would just like buy something like that and it wasn't a big deal? You know, the price tag mattered to me less.
Yeah.
You know, I try to be a lot more thoughtful about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I am not so, you know, speaking of some of your more jet-setty friends, you know, I haven't done a lot of regular travel in a clip now. And I want to get back to that, but that costs money. You know, time is money and money is money. And I don't, you know, it's kind of like, all right, well, what do we do here? What do we do? Do we just sort of say life is simpler now and that's just the way it is? You know, do we figure out, you know, I'm always trying to figure out, because I have like a few different jobs, even though my main job is Daily Tech News Show, I do other things.
Sure.
I'm a freelancer. And it's like, well, if I freelance more, then I lose time, but I gain money. And what is that perfect balance? The balance has not yet been stricken, if that's the right tense. I still need to figure out a couple of things, because I feel like, you know, if I wanted to do like the trip to Hawaii that you just talked about.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I could do that. It would be at the expense of other things. So I have to figure out like, okay, well, what do I want to do the most? You know, this is, we got one life, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
I think also, I mean, who knows what's going to happen when February rolls around? And that's part of why I don't book in advance, because things can change on a dime. And
totally.
You may not be able to go. I mean, that's many, many months down the road. And like, I might have shot myself in the foot buying a ticket so far in advance. So I don't really get how other people are able to plan like that. I guess maybe they just wing it and they go, you know, if we cancel, we cancel, but we just want to have it on the calendar because it makes us feel better. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all let us know if you have any thoughts on this. We always love hearing from you early and often.
I think a lot of, I don't know if you were talking about your friend whose husband plans all the trips. I don't know if they have kids. They don't have kids. Okay.
Nope.
So, you know, I've heard like the whole, okay, we're going to look at 2024 and here's what we're all doing and here's when we're leaving and here's the hotel we're staying in, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And a lot of that, you know, my friends who I would say like are more sort of like anal about getting all of the stuff done in advance, kids are involved, you know, because they're school and, you know, Easter vacation or, you know, all sorts of reasons why things have to happen at a certain time for the whole family, you know, unit to run smoothly. But yeah, I know. I think a lot of it is, well, some people can just be really, really good at planning ahead. I mean, I'm not married, nor do I have children, and I could do that if I wanted to. I'm a little bit more like fly by the seat of your pants kind of person.
Same.
For better and worse.
Yeah.
Sometimes much worse. But I have had friends, and I guess I'm talking about couples who, yeah, they'll have like, you know, a shared Google Calendar, like for just like all day, every day type stuff. And I kind of go, wow, you guys are so organized. And yet something about this, I think, would bother me a little bit, because it's like every hour of the day is just spoken for. And maybe that's what leads to a really harmonious relationship for some. You know, other people would be like, whoa, this is too much. This is smothering me, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't really know where I am on that scale because I've never really tried. So I don't know. Maybe that'll be something that I think about more.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all having that momentum, I think, is it's hard for me too. I'm kind of just getting through the day, getting through the week. You know, definitely something to shoot for. I just don't know. Maybe certain people are just like that. Like they just know that's just like ingrained in who they are. They've always been planners or something. Maybe mm-hmm. we planned too much being in production. I mean, I think,
yeah.
Here's sort of my learning from this, at least for me. I'm actually pretty good with work stuff. Like I've always been, I can make decisions. I can make decisions on the fly. I am a problem solver. Like I've been good with work, but
yeah,
when it comes to my personal life, I'm not as, I'm a little waffly. Like I'm just like, oh, I could do that or I could do that. And I don't know why. I find it so interesting. I'm like, why do I'm not as like certain. This is
yeah.
what I'm doing.
Yeah.
This is this decision we're making right now. And this is what we're doing. Like I'm great at business.
Yeah,
it's
I can really relate to that. I can really. In fact, I've been in situations where, I mean, I'm still in the same career I've always had. It's, you know, taken different forms, but more or less, yeah, I get up and I produce all day and then I get to stop. And, you know, it's herding cats for,
yeah.
you know, in many ways, just over and over and over, and you get good at it. I can't tell you how many times, you know, maybe this is, you know, back in the day, you know, maybe like a boyfriend or something would say, all right, well, what do you want to do tonight? You know, and my reaction would be like, I want you to tell me what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because I
yeah.
don't want to produce anymore
or like,
today.
Yeah, or like make the decision. It can
yeah.
be exhausting.
You just tell me what I'm doing and I will do it. Because,
yep.
you know, producing is, I mean, we use the word production, but it's like project management. Just, you know, there are lots of different ways that you can describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want to, you know, or somebody will say like, what do we want to do for your birthday? And I'm like, do not make me produce this.
Yeah.
Totally. You produce it. Because
yeah.
When it comes to my, yeah, like my personal life, I have a lot less energy because it's like, mm-hmm. I've already done that for other people.
Yeah. No, it's so true. It's funny because my current relationship is a producer. My boyfriend Elijah is a producer. And so he can be really good when he's at the forefront. Like he will make the day happen or,
mm-hmm.
you know, but my last relationship wasn't. And I remember getting kind of like, like I felt like I had to kind of curate everything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting thing to look for in a partner, you know, whether you love curating everything. I mean, I mostly like to curate, but sometimes it does get,
I mean, I
really
know what
exhausting.
I like, you
yeah.
know, it's like somebody could suggest something and I'd be like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, or you're like, I can't really think of anything. Like, Sarah, do you want to take golf lessons? I'd be like, I don't know. I mean, with my limited free time, I don't know if I want to do that. At the same time, if somebody was super gung-ho about us doing that together, I'd be like, okay, all right, let's give it a shot, you know?
Yeah.
What's my better idea? Sit around eating Triscuits? So...
You love that, though.
I know, I do.
Love Triscuits.
I love Triscuits.
Like I love Lamp.
I also love Lamp. I love Triscuits while Lamp is on next to me.
True.
I didn't eat Triscuits and cheese for dinner last... Wait a second. What did I even eat last night? See, Heather, things are going sideways.
I know. Tell me about it. So I'm sort of like... my question for you, Miss Tech Expert... When do you think our households are going to go full robot? Because I know that you have a Roomba. And you love your Roomba. I have been in the market for a cat litter robot. And I have a friend who has one. They're about $500+. You know, dollars.
Oh, they're all over my Instagram ads. I actually had to hide it because I was like, okay, I got it. You want me to buy this litter robot?
Yesterday I was on Pinterest, like organizing some of my my little pins. And
your board, I think.
Board. And every like fourth image, it was like, you know, the office chick doing her ad for the litter robot. What's her name? Pam from The Office. She's like one of the spokespeople, and she's just like all over my Pinterest, like trying to convince me to buy this litter robot. And anyway, my point is that a lot of the adult purchases that I want to make right now are like around the 500, you know, price point, which is frustrating because they're all just like appliances. It's like to make my life a little easier, you know, but I can't pull the trigger because it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for like a cat box, but it's definitely something that I'm really interested in because I think it would streamline my day. I clean 4 cat boxes a day. It's kind of a lot.
That's a lot.
It is.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's that healthy either. So I'm like, I should be able to, I bought a ticket to Hawaii. I should be able to justify, you know, making my day-to-day life a little easier. I want to know if any of y'all out there have a litter robot. The one I'm looking at is literally called Litter Robot 4. You've probably seen ads for it. I think it's one of the most, it might be Wirecutter's Choice as one of the best, but it is like a higher price point than some others. But I do think it's probably in terms of longevity and technology, it's kind of the best on the market. But I'd like to know if any of y'all have it out there and if you can help push me over the edge one way or another, please email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
Yeah, do that. Do that. I
slept like absolute garbage because, you know, I explained why earlier in the show. And so during those sort of like, am I awake? Am I asleep? You know, you have all those REM dreams that are just so nonsensical, you know, where you're just like, yeah, there's something wrong with my brain. And then sometimes it's like, I'm in that funny, like, I know I'm awake. I know the dream wasn't real, but I'm still like working through it.
Yes.
As if it was real, but I know it isn't. And then I'm kind of like, what are you doing, Sarah? You know, like, you know, like, get control of your brain. It's that, like, half-dreaming thing. And one of my dreams was litter box related also. Yeah, there was, like, a litter box that it was in the wrong place or it needed to be cleaned or something. You know, it was one of those just, like, stress dreams where, like, you were trying to achieve something and you couldn't achieve it. But it was litter box related. And I woke up and I was like, what happened to that litter box in my old house? Uh-huh. Did I leave it there? I hope I didn't, because that's like a really weird thing to just leave behind for somebody to clean up, you know, and they're heavy. Or did I like pack it? I mean, I would have emptied it and then packed it up. It's actually a pretty cool litter box. You mentioned Wirecutter, which sparked this memory. Because that's the litter box that it had suggested to me several years ago when I needed one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is it in my storage unit? I don't know. This is now me being awake. I'm not dreaming anymore. I don't know what I did with that litter box. And if you happen to now live in my old apartment and you're listening to this, because, you know, that could happen. I'm sorry if I left my litter box in the bathroom. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Yesterday I did a tour of one of my buildings. Here's the funny thing. These are all these buildings that I currently now own. It still feels like my dad owns them, but like I haven't even been inside half of them. So it's just very odd to, it's interesting to actually go in them finally after all this time for the first time. And like yesterday we did a walkthrough of this, we call it the Purple People Eater. It's a purple Victorian, Sarah. And it has 6 units, so it's 6 apartments, and there are like a combination of 1 bedrooms and studios. And I was so sort of like taken aback, like going inside, like everybody was gone at work. Like we got permission going into the units because we had to do measurements and pictures and everything. And it was a trip to see like how people live, you know,
yeah.
Like you were like in someone's personal space, you know, their slippers were by their bed and one of them had a cat, you know, sleeping in the corner. And, you know, it's just very, very strange going into people's houses. But like really sort of charming also, you know, like it felt like a little art commune house. You know, everybody had like a canvas going, you know, they were painting on an easel or there was like, you know, little like clay art projects and really funky art on the walls. And I was like, these people seem really cool. They're like students, you know, they're like college students mostly.
Yeah.
But it was so sweet. It was just like kind of surprisingly a cool experience. Like these are my tenants. I don't know any of them. But like seeing how they live, I mean, most of them were fairly tidy and adorable. And then there was a couple that were a little dirty and a little, you know, slightly disturbing, but, you know, we won't get into yes. that.
One of the more disturbing Purple House people. Yeah. Oh, we're in Unit C.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I think it was Unit C.
Oh, I just made that guess. Up. See how good I am at this?
Yeah. So I'm actually trying to get more involved in this type of thing because maybe it will connect me a little bit more, you know, and I did realize going in there, I'm like, I see what my dad sees about this place because for so long, I wasn't seeing it. I was like, I don't know. I think we should just sell this place. But now I'm sort of like, I get it. Like it was each one of these places was one of his little projects, his little pet projects. And they weren't my pet projects, which is why maybe I feel this distance from them. But I'm kind of seeing more and more like why he was so passionate about this particular building.
That's cool.
And it's
fun
cool.
to see. Well, it's always fun to like go over to someone's house and you're like, oh, what a cool spot. You know, whether it's a big house or a small apartment, you know, it's all, you know, I mean, y'all should have seen the place that I lived for 3.5 years. It was small, but it was so cute. I mean, that wasn't just like because I'm a great decorator or anything. It was just a cute apartment, but it wasn't cool because it was big. It was cool actually because it was like a minuscule little tiny treehouse. But since I'm kind of in the rental market, you know, I'm looking around for where I would land in a more permanent spot than where I am now. When I say kind of, I mean I do this every single day. I'm actually pretty serious about it, but I haven't pulled the trigger yet. So you see all these pictures of empty apartments, and you know that's. For the most part, you know, that's why you stage a house when you're selling. It's like, get all the personal stuff out of there so that the next person can envision themselves in their house, not your house. But every so often, especially when, you know, it's more of a rental market, which is definitely where I am in life. Every so often, obviously someone's taken a bunch of pictures and the person still lives there. Or maybe they're using like photos from like a few years ago when a tenant lived there. And sometimes you kind of look at it and go like, oh, God, I would not have the guitar on that wall, you know, and that sort of thing. Or like, oh, the exercise bike, they don't need that. But then there are other times where I'm like, oh, I like their apartment. Like,
yeah, totally.
I want my apartment to be this one. You know, like, forget my stuff. I'll just move into this one. Which is funny because I'm actually not looking for something furnished. I don't know, never say never. But yeah, it's just, it's peeking into someone's life. You know, and it feels
totally.
A little bit like I'm spying on you, but at the same time, it can be kind of, I don't know, kind of fun. Like, oh, I like the way that you know, they're going to get out of bed and they're going to put their slippers on. And that's their little spot.
It was definitely a much cooler experience than I expected. But, whew, man, hard to keep up though, Sarah. I have to tell you, it's this whole sort of ongoing work happening at every single place. You know, I have fantasies, like your fantasies about the perfect apartment. I have fantasies about just living in a modest place on 1 acre, maybe a half an acre, maybe a quarter of an acre, and just something that I can have that's like new, that's not sinking into the earth, that, you know, has great foundation, has great bones. Thankfully, the house that I live in does have great bones. It's just a bigger house than I think I normally would choose, you know, because it's a lot more work. Like, for example, I have a guy coming over shortly to fix a bunch of electrical. There's, you know, this house is actually not that old. It was built in the 80s. But, you know, there's just a lot of strange little things that it'll never feel totally buttoned up ever. Ever, 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 ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, having, oh, gosh. I mean, the homeowner thing, because it all, you know, it all rests on your shoulders eventually. I mean, yep. With my property management stint in life that concluded a few short months ago, you know, I mean, I felt ownership because, again, I'm sort of project managing everything. You know, it's production still. You know, I did not own the house, but I did feel a lot of ownership over it. But it was old. Real old.
Yeah.
Well, and there were several structures. I mean, you've seen it.
I thought it was kind of new.
No. I mean, there was a lot of remodeling that had happened.
I see.
But the, you know, the property itself is like early 1900s. And for that reason, everything broke all the time.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's homeownership.
Like, it really is. Yeah. I mean, it was like, I mean, almost to the point where I'm like, is the world like fucking with me?
I feel like that too.
How can this many things break?
I know.
Have they always been breaking, or is it just like, did it just happen when I moved here?
That's like the world is conspiring against
you. Yeah, which is, that's so silly. True. But anyway. All right. Well, listen, I don't know. I'm babbling a little bit, Heather. I've somewhat over-caffeinated before we started the show this morning.
But Sarah, we received a wonderful email, a couple wonderful emails.
Yeah, we did. We got one from William. William wrote a very long email with some very creative ideas for how Heather and I can revive our Patreon. By the way, we are well aware that as a patron, we could be doing more fun stuff for you. We talk about it all the time, and then life gets in the way, and then we talk about it a little bit more, and then life gets in the way. Rinse, repeat. Heather and I really, really are committed to, like, let's make this more fun, like, for our existing patrons, obviously, and for new patrons. You might say, I don't need to be a patron. I don't, you know, there's no real good incentive for me. Well, the incentive is directly supporting the show and getting an ad-free version of the show. So there's that. But we do want to do more. Anyway, thank you to you, William. There's no way we could read the whole email. I mean, it would be an hour itself. But much appreciated. One of the
very charming, like, stream of consciousness, though.
Very
I
funny,
it a lot.
William. Very
thank
funny.
You, William.
One excerpt. William was talking about. I think this is coming from our conversation of how to sign off an email or a letter or something. You know, sincerely, best wishes.
Delightfully.
William says, let me start by saying I'm more self-conscious than ever about the amount of exclamation points I'm using. I abuse exclamation points in all areas of my life. The only compromise I would make at work was to use one, not multiple. I also can't tell you how many times I signed off with, thanks so much, with either a comma or even a exclamation point.
You know, it's funny. I relate to this a lot, William, because I think I used to be, I would consider myself a pretty enthusiastic person. And so I think in that being enthusiastic, I felt like I needed to show my enthusiasm with an exclamation point. I have since sort of toned it down because it can be a little aggressive. And I think I got a little self-conscious about it too. And I'm a little more choosy when I use it, especially if I use more than one. But I found that very, very amusing, along with the rest of your comments, which I wish we could share. But thank you so much for writing in.
Yeah, thank you, William.
And Stephen sent us a note specifically for me. It was a mashup video of the British sitcom Dairy Girls. This is in relation to my Liam Neeson obsession lately. If you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to the last like five episodes. Dairy Girls, I've heard of this show. It's a British sitcom. It looks really funny. I've never seen it, so I don't have the context, but there's a cameo.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah. This is it's Northern Ireland. You know, in the city of Derry, the area of Derry. It's funny. It's also you know, there's sort of a IRA thing going on. You know, it's during the Troubles as it's
known. Got it. Yeah.
So it's very time period specific. But it's a comedy. And it's just,
yeah,
I mean, it's
great.
Well,
it's really funny. I mean, I could at least appreciate it's a mashup of like a scene in Dairy Girls with all the girls kind of being interrogated. But when it's cut to a very serious bit of footage of Liam Neeson in one of his movies, like totally separate, like interrogating them. And so it's this like contrast.
What fun, Steven.
Yeah.
What fun. No, Steven, Steven's our buddy. Steven has written us before. And we're glad you're listening. And yeah, Dairy Girls, Liam Neeson mashup. Who's going to say no?
Yeah.
Not me. I wouldn't dare.
Anything with Liam Neeson, send it my way.
Yeah, send it Heather's way. I'm kind of indifferent about him. No, I have no issue with the man, but I don't think I've seen any of those, you know, the movies where he's on a plane
or
whatever.
Well, you're missing out, Sarah.
Yeah,
you're missing out.
I know.
Well, I will say one last thing before we wrap the show up. I'm on the new American Horror Story season, Sarah.
Oh, the Kardashian one?
Yeah, it's creepy. It's kind of my version. That I think the farthest that I would go into, like, it's not reality television, but it's a little bit of a guilty pleasure. So I'm really enjoying it. I know you don't love horror. It's more campy horror, honestly. But it's a really fun season.
Well, I am glad that you're enjoying it. Who knows? Maybe I'll get there when I run out of other things to watch. I don't know. I'm not watching anything good right now. I'm just watching kind of dumb stuff. But I don't know. Yeah, I need like a good series, which is really stupid because there are plenty of good series that I haven't started yet. And people go, oh, wow, I really would have thought you would have watched. And I go, oh, I'll get there. And then I just kind of half watch things and sit on my computer instead.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's all sorts of resets that need to happen in our lives, Heather. But for now, we're going to go ahead and hopefully reset your day in a good way. I was about to say by signing off. No, by giving you this wonderful hour of love and affection.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and make your day by wrapping up the show. So until episode 209, which will be next week, we're going to sign off on 208.
Yes, we will. I will always and forever be Heather.
I will be Sarah forever.
Have such a good day.
Bye.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.